up with tender hand from the first opening bud, and gave ye names. Who now shall rear ye to the sun, or rank your tribes and water from the ambrosial fount? Thee, lastly, nuptial bower, by me adorned, with what to sight or smell was sweet? From thee how shall I part, and whither wander down into a lower world, to this obscure and wild? How shall we breathe in other air, less pure, accustomed to immortal fruits? Whom thus the angel interrupted mild, Lament not, Eve, but patiently resign what justly thou hast lost, nor set thy heart thus overfond on that which is not thine. Thy going is not lonely, with thee goes thy husband, him to follow thou art bound. Where he abides, think there thy native soil. Adam, by this from the cold sudden damp recovering, and his scattered spirits returned, to Michael thus his humble words addressed, Celestial, whether among the thrones, or named of them the highest, for such of shape may seem, prince above princes, gently hast thou told thy message, which might else in telling wound, and in performing end us. What besides of sorrow and dejection and despair our frailty can sustain, thy tidings bring departure from this happy place, our sweet recess, and only consolation left, familiar to our eyes, all places else inhospitable appear and desolate, nor knowing us, nor known. And if by prayer incessant I could hope to change the will of him who all things can, I would not cease to weary him with my assiduous cries. But prayer against his absolute decree no more avails than breath against the wind, blown stifling back on him that breathes it forth. Therefore to his great bidding I submit. This most afflicts me, that departing hence, as from his face I shall be hid, deprived his blessed countenance, here I could frequent with worship place by place where he vouchsafed presence divine, and to my sons relate, on this mount he appeared, under this tree stood visible, among these pines his voice I heard, here with him at this fountain talked. So many grateful altars I would rear of grassy turf, and pile up every stone of lustre from the brook, in memory or monument to ages, and thereon offer sweet-smelling gums and fruits and flowers. In yonder nether world where shall I seek his bright appearances or footstep trace? For though I fled him angry, yet recalled to life prolonged and promised race, I now gladly behold, though but his utmost skirts of glory, and far off his steps adore. To whom thus Michael, with regard benign, Adam, thou knowest heaven his, and all the earth, not this rock only, his omnipresence fills land, sea, and air, and every kind that lives, fomented by his virtual power and warmed. All the earth he gave thee to possess and rule, no despicable gift. Surmise not, then, his presence to these narrow bounds confined of paradise or Eden. This had been, perhaps, thy capital seat, from whence had spread all generations, and had hither come from all the ends of the earth, to celebrate and reverence thee their great progenitor. But this preeminence thou hast lost, brought down to dwell on even ground now with thy sons. Yet doubt not, but in valley and in plain, God is as here, and will be found alike present, and of his presence many a sign, still following thee, still compassing thee round, with goodness and paternal love, his face express, and of his steps the track divine. Which that thou mayest believe and be confirmed, ere thou from hence depart, no, I am sent to show thee what shall come in future days, to thee and to thy offspring, good with bad, expect to hear, supernal grace contending with sinfulness of men, thereby to learn true patience, and to temper joy with fear, and pious sorrow equally inured, by moderation either state to bear, prosperous or adverse. So shalt thou lead safest thy life, and best prepared endure thy mortal passage when it comes. Ascend this hill, let Eve, for I have drenched her eyes, here sleep below, while thou to foresight wak'st, as once thou slept while she to life was formed. To whom thus Adam gratefully replied, Ascend, I follow thee, safe guide, the path thou lead'st me, and to the hand of heaven submit, however chastening, to the evil turn, my obvious breast arming to overcome by suffering, and earn rest from labour won, if so I may attain. So both ascend in the visions of God. It was a hill of paradise the highest, from whose top the hemisphere of earth in clearest ken stretched out to amplest reach of prospect lay. Not higher that hill, nor wider looking round, whereon for different cause the tempter set our second Adam in the wilderness, to show him all earth's kingdoms and their glory. His eye might there command, wherever stood, city of old or modern fame, the seat of mightiest empire from the destined walls of Cambaloo, seat of Cathayan Can, and Samarkand by Oxus, Temir's throne, to Paquin of Sinian kings, and thence to Agra and Lahore of great Mogul, down to the golden Chersonese, or where the Persian in Ekbatan sat, or since in Hispahan, or where the Russian Tsar in Moscow, or the Sultan in Byzance, Turkestan born. Nor could his eye not ken the empire of Negus to his utmost port, Erkoko and the less maritime kings, Mombasa and Quiloa and Melind, and Sofala thought Ophir to the realm of Congo, and Angola farthest south, or thence from Niger flood to Atlas Mount, the kingdoms of Almansor, Fez, and Sus, Morocco, and Algiers, and Tremizen, on Europe thence, and where Rome was to sway the world in spirit, perhaps he also saw rich Mexico, the seat of Moctezuma, and Cusco in Peru, the richer seat of Atahualpa, and yet unspoiled Guiana, whose great city Geryon's sons call El Dorado. But to nobler sights, Michael from Adam's eyes the film removed, which that false fruit that promised clearer sight had bred. Then purged with euphrasy and rue the visual nerve, for he had much to see. And from the well of life three drops instilled, so deep the power of these ingredients pierced, even to the inmost seat of mental sight, that Adam now enforced to close his eyes, sunk down, and all his spirits became entranced. But him the gentle angel by the hand soon raised, and his attention thus recalled. Adam, now ope thine eyes, and first behold the effects which thy original crime hath wrought, in some to spring from thee, who never touched the accepted tree, nor with the snake conspired, nor sinned thy sin, yet from that sin derive corruption to bring forth more violent deeds. His eyes he opened and beheld a field, part arable and tilth, whereon were sheaves new reaped, the other part sheep walks and folds. In the midst an altar, as the landmark stood, rustic of grassy sword. Thither anon a sweaty reaper from his tillage brought first fruits, the green ear and the yellow sheaf, unculled as came to hand. A shepherd next, more meek, came with the firstlings of his flock, choicest and best. Then sacrificing laid the innards and their fat, with incense strewed, on the cleft wood, and all due rites performed. His offering soon propitious fire from heaven consumed with nimble glance and grateful steam. The others not, for his was not sincere, whereat he inly raged, and as they talked smote him into the midriff with a stone that beat out life. He fell, and deadly pale, groaned out his soul with gushing blood effused. Much at that sight was Adam in his heart dismayed, and thus in haste to the angel cried, O teacher, some great mischief hath befallen to that meek man who well had sacrificed. Is piety thus and pure devotion paid? To whom Michael thus, he also moved, replied, These to our brethren, Adam, and to come out of thy loins, the unjust the just hath slain, for envy that his brother's offering found from heaven's acceptance. but the bloody fact will be avenged, and the other's faith approved. Lose no reward. Though here thou see him die, rolling in dust and gore. To which our sire, alas, both for the deed and for the cause, but have I now seen death? Is this the way? I must return to native dust. O sight of terror, foul and ugly to behold, horrid to think, how horrible to feel. To whom thus Michael, death thou hast seen in his first shape on man, but many shapes of death, and many are the ways that lead to his grim cave, all dismal, yet to sense more terrible at the entrance than within. Some, as thou sawest, by violent stroke shall die, by fire, flood, famine, by intemperance more in meats and drinks, which on the earth shall bring diseases dire, of which a monstrous crew before thee shall appear, that thou mayst know what misery the inabstinence of Eve shall bring on men. Immediately a place before his eyes appeared, sad, noisome, dark, a lazar house it seemed, wherein were laid numbers of all diseased, all maladies of ghastly spasm or racking torture, qualms of heartsick agony, all feverous kinds, convulsions, epilepsies, fierce catarrhs, intestine, stone, and ulcer, colic, pangs, demoniac frenzy, moping melancholy, and moonstruck madness, pining atrophy, marasmus and wide-wasting pestilence, dropsies and asthmas and joint-racking rheums. Dire was the tossing, deep the groans. Despair tended the sick, busiest from couch to couch. And over them triumphant death his dart shook, but delayed to strike, though oft invoked with vows as their chief good and final hope. Sight so deform, what heart of rock could long dry-eyed behold, Adam could not, but wept, though not of woman born. Compassion quelled his best of man, and gave him up to tears a space, till firmer thoughts restrained excess, and scarce recovering words his plaint renewed. O miserable mankind, to what fall degraded, to what wretched state reserved? Better end here unborn. Why is life given to be thus wrested from us? Rather, why obtruded on us thus? Who, if we knew what we receive, would either not accept life offered, or soon beg to lay it down, glad to be so dismissed in peace? Can thus the image of God in man, created once, so goodly and erect, though faulty since, to such unsightly sufferings be debased under inhuman pains? Why should not man, retaining still divine similitude, in part, from such deformities be free, and for his Maker's image sake exempt? Their Maker's image, answered Michael, then forsook them when themselves they vilified to serve ungoverned appetite, and took his image whom they served, a brutish vice, inductive mainly to the sin of Eve. Therefore so abject is their punishment, disfiguring not God's likeness but their own, or if his likeness by themselves defaced, while they pervert pure nature's healthful rules, to loathsome sickness, worthily, since they God's image did not reverence in themselves. I yield it just, said Adam, and submit. But is there yet no other way, besides these painful passages, how we may come to death and mix with our connatural dust? There is, said Michael, if thou well observe the rule of not too much, by temperance taught, in what thou eatst and drinkst, seeking from thence due nourishment, not gluttonous delight. Till many years over thy head return, so mayst thou live, till, like ripe fruit, thou drop into thy mother's lap, or be with ease gathered, not harshly plucked, for death mature. This is old age, but then thou must outlive thy youth, thy strength, thy beauty, which will change, to withered, weak, and grey. Thy senses then, obtuse, all taste of pleasure must forego. To what thou hast, and for the air of youth, hopeful and cheerful in thy blood, will reign a melancholy damp of cold and dry. to weigh thy spirits down, and last consume the balm of life. To whom our ancestor, henceforth I fly not death, nor would prolong life much, bent rather how I may be quit, fairest and easiest of this cumbrous charge, which I must keep till my appointed day, of rendering up and patiently attend my dissolution. Mikhail replied, Nor love thy life, nor hate, but what thou livest, live well, how long or short permit to heaven, and now prepare thee for another sight. He looked and saw a spacious plain, whereon were tents of various hue. By some were herds of cattle grazing, others whence the sound of instruments that made melodious chime was heard, of harp and organ, and who moved their stops and cords was seen, his volant touch, instinct through all proportions low and high, fled and pursued transverse the resonant fugue. In other parts stood one who at the forge, labouring two massy clods of iron and brass, had melted, whether found where casual fire had wasted woods on mountain or in vale, down to the veins of earth, thence gliding hot to some cave's mouth, or whether washed by stream from underground. The liquid ore he drained into fit moulds prepared, from which he formed first his own tools, then what might else be wrought, fusile or graven in metal. After these, but on the hither side a different sort, from the high neighbouring hills, which was their seat, down to the plain descended. By their guise, just men they seemed, and all their study bent to worship God aright, and know his works, not hid, nor those things last which might preserve freedom and peace to men. They on the plain long had not walked, when from the tents behold a bevy of fair women, richly gay, in gems and wanton dress. To the harp they sung soft amorous ditties, and in dance came on. The men, though grave, eyed them, and let their eyes rove without rein, till in the amorous net, fast caught, they liked, and each his liking chose. And now of love they treat till the evening star, love's harbinger, appeared. Then all in heat they light the nuptial torch, and bid invoke hymen, then first to marriage rites invoked. With feast and music all the tents resound, such happy interview and fair event, of love and youth not lost, songs, garlands, flowers, and charming symphonies attach the heart of Adam, soon inclined to admit delight, the bent of nature, which he thus expressed. True opener of mine eyes, prime angel blessed, much better seems this vision, and more hope of peaceful days portends, than those two past. Those were of hate and death, or pain much worse. Here nature seems fulfilled in all her ends. To whom thus Michael, Judge not what is best by pleasure, though to nature's seeming meet, created as thou art to nobler end, holy and pure conformity divine. Those tents thou sawest so pleasant were the tents of wickedness, wherein shall dwell his race who slew his brother. Studious they appear of arts that polish life, inventors rare, unmindful of their maker, though his spirit taught them, but they his gifts acknowledged none. Yet they a beauteous offspring shall beget, for that fair female troop thou sawest, that seemed of goddesses, so blithe, so smooth, so gay, yet empty of all good wherein consists woman's domestic honour and chief praise. Bred only and completed to the taste of lustful appetence, to sing, to dance, to dress and troll the tongue and roll the eye. To these that sober race of men, whose lives religious titled them the sons of God, shall yield up all their virtue, all their fame ignobly, to the trains and to the smiles of these fair atheists, and now swim in joy, ere long to swim at large, and laugh, for which the world ere long a world of tears must weep. To whom thus Adam of short joy bereft, O pity and shame that they who to live well entered so fair should turn aside to tread paths indirect or in the midway faint. But still I see the tenor of man's woe holds on the same, from woman to begin. From man's effeminate slackness it begins, said the angel. Who should better hold his place by wisdom and superior gifts received? But now prepare thee for another scene. He looked and saw wide territory spread before him, towns and rural works between, cities of men with lofty gates and towers, concourse in arms, fierce faces threatening war, giants of mighty bone and bold emprise, part wield their arms, part curb the foaming steed, single or an array of battle ranged, both horse and foot nor idly mustering stood. One way a band select from forage drives a herd of beeves, fair oxen and fair kine, from a fat meadow ground, or fleecy flock, ewes and their bleating lambs over the plain, their booty. Scarce with life the shepherds fly, but call in aid, which makes a bloody fray. With cruel tournament the squadrons join, where cattle, pastured late, now scattered lies, with carcasses and arms the ensanguined field deserted. Others, to a city strong, lay siege, encamped, by battery, scale, and mine, assaulting. Others from the wall defend, with dart and javelin, stones and sulphurous fire. On each hand slaughter and gigantic deeds. In other part the sceptred heralds call to council in the city gates. Anon grey-headed men and grave with warriors mixed assemble, and harangues are heard, but soon in factious opposition, till at last of middle age one rising eminent, in wise deport, spake much of right and wrong, of justice, of religion, truth and peace, and judgment from above. Him, old and young, exploded and had seized with violent hands, had not a cloud descending snatched him thence, unseen amid the throng. So violence proceeded, and oppression and sword law, through all the plain, and refuge none was found. Adam was all in tears, and to his guide, lamenting, turned full sad. Oh, what are these, death's ministers, not men, who thus deal death inhumanly to men, and multiply 10,000-fold the sin of him who slew his brother, for of whom such massacre make they but of their brethren men of men? But who was that just man, whom had not heaven rescued, had in his righteousness been lost? To whom thus Michael? These are the product of those ill-mated marriages thou sawest, where good with bad were matched, who of themselves abhor to join, and by imprudence mixed produce prodigious births of body or mind. Such were these giants, men of high renown, for in those days might only shall be admired, and valour and heroic virtue called, to overcome in battle and subdue nations and bring home spoils with infinite manslaughter. Shall be held the highest pitch of human glory, and for glory done, of triumph, to be styled great conquerors, patrons of mankind, gods and sons of gods, destroyers rightly are called, and plagues of men. Thus fame shall be achieved, renown on earth, and what most merits fame in silence hid. But he, the seventh from thee, whom thou beheldst, the only righteous in a world perverse, and therefore hated, therefore so beset with foes for daring single to be just, and utter odious truth, that God would come to judge them with his saints. Him, the Most High, wrapped in a balmy cloud with winged steeds, did, as thou sawest, receive, to walk with God, high in salvation and the climes of bliss, exempt from death, to show thee what reward awaits the good, the rest what punishment, which now direct thine eyes and soon behold. He looked and saw the face of things quite changed. The brazen throat of war had ceased to roar. All now was turned to jollity and game, to luxury and riot, feast and dance, marrying or prostituting as befell, rape or adultery where passing fair allured them, thence from cups to civil broils. At length the reverend sire among them came, and of their doings great dislike declared, and testified against their ways. He oft frequented their assemblies, where so met, triumphs or festivals, and to them preached conversion and repentance, as to souls in prison under judgments imminent. But all in vain, which when he saw he ceased contending, and removed his tents far off. Then from the mountain, hewing timber tall, began to build a vessel of huge bulk, measured by cubit, length and breadth and height, smeared round with pitch, and in the side a door contrived, and of provisions laid in large for man and beast, when lo, a wonder strange, of every beast and bird and insect small came sevens and pairs, and entered in as taught their order. Last the sire and his three sons, with their four wives, and God made fast the door. Meanwhile the south wind rose, and with black wings, wide hovering, all the clouds together drove from under heaven, the hills to their supply, vapour and exhalation, dusk and moist, sent up amain. And now the thickened sky like a dark ceiling stood, down rushed the rain impetuous, and continued till the earth no more was seen. The floating vessel swam, uplifted, and secure with beaked brow, rode tilting o'er the waves, all dwellings else flood overwhelmed, and them with all their pomp deep under water rolled. Sea covered sea, sea without shore. And in their palaces, where luxury late reigned, sea monsters whelped and stabled. Of mankind so numerous late, all left in one small bottom swum embarked. How didst thou grieve then, Adam, to behold the end of all thy offspring, end so sad, depopulation, thee another flood of tears and sorrow, a flood thee also drowned, and sunk thee as thy sons, till, gently reared by the angel, on thy feet thou stoodst at last, though comfortless, as when a father mourns his children, all in view destroyed at once, and scarce to the angel utteredst thus thy plaint. O visions ill foreseen, better had I lived ignorant of future, so had borne my part of evil only, each day's lot enough to bear. Those now that were dispensed, the burden of many ages, on me light at once, by my foreknowledge gaining birth, abortive, to torment me ere their being, with thought that they must be. Let no man seek henceforth to be foretold what shall befall him or his children, evil he may be sure, which neither his foreknowing can prevent, and he the future evil shall no less in apprehension than in substance feel, grievous to bear. But that care now is past. Man is not whom to warn. Those few escaped famine and anguish will at last consume wandering that watery desert. I had hope, when violence was ceased, and war on earth, all would have then gone well. Peace would have crowned with length of happy days the race of man. But I was far deceived, for now I see peace to corrupt no less than war to waste. How comes it thus? Unfold, celestial guide, and whether here the race of man will end. To whom thus Michael? Those whom last thou sawest in triumph and luxurious wealth, are they first seen in acts of prowess eminent, and great exploits, but of true virtue void? Who, having spilt much blood and done much waste, subduing nations, and achieved thereby fame in the world, high titles and rich prey, shall change their course to pleasure, ease and sloth, surfeit and lust, till wantonness and pride raise out of friendship hostile deeds in peace? The conquered also, and enslaved by war, shall with their freedom lost all virtue lose, and fear of God, from whom their piety feigned, in sharp contest of battle found no aid against invaders, therefore cooled in zeal, thenceforth shall practice how to live secure, worldly or dissolute, on what their lords shall leave them to enjoy. For the earth shall bear more than enough, that temperance may be tried. so all shall turn degenerate, all depraved, justice and temperance, truth and faith forgot. One man except, the only son of light, in a dark age, against example good, against allurement, custom, and a world offended, fearless of reproach and scorn, or violence, he of their wicked ways, shall them admonish, and before them set the paths of righteousness, how much more safe and full of peace, denouncing wrath to come on their impenitence. And shall return of them derided, but of God observed the one just man alive, by his command shall build a wondrous ark, as thou beheldst, to save himself and household from amidst a world devote to universal wrack. No sooner he with them of man and beast select for life shall in the ark be lodged, and sheltered round, but all the cataracts of heaven set open on the earth shall pour rain day and night. All fountains of the deep, broke up, shall heave the ocean to usurp beyond all bounds, till inundation rise above the highest hills. Then shall this mount of paradise by might of waves be moved out of his place, pushed by the horned flood, with all his verdure spoiled and trees adrift, down the great river to the opening gulf, and there take root an island, salt and bare, the haunt of seals and orcs and sea-mews clang, to teach thee that God attributes to place no sanctity, if none be thither brought, by men who there frequent or therein dwell. And now what further shall ensue, behold? He looked, and saw the ark hull on the flood, which now abated, for the clouds were fled, driven by a keen north wind, that, blowing dry, wrinkled the face of deluge as decayed. And the clear sun on his wide watery glass gazed hot, and of the fresh wave largely drew, as after thirst, which made their flowing shrink from standing lake to tripping ebb, that stole with soft foot towards the deep, who now had stopped his sluices as the heaven his windows shut. The ark no more now floats, but seems on ground fast on the top of some high mountain fixed. And now the top of hills as rocks appear, with clamour thence the rapid currents drive towards the retreating sea their furious tide. Forthwith from out the ark a raven flies, and after him the surer messenger, a dove sent forth once and again to spy green tree or ground, whereon his foot may light. The second time returning in his bill an olive leaf he brings, pacific sign. Anon dry ground appears, and from his ark the ancient sire descends with all his train. Then with uplifted hands and eyes devout, grateful to heaven, over his head beholds a dewy cloud, and in the cloud a bow conspicuous with three listed colours gay, betokening peace from God and covenant new. Whereat the heart of Adam, erst so sad, greatly rejoiced, and thus his joy broke forth. O thou who future things canst represent as present, heavenly instructor, I revive at this last sight, assured that man shall live with all the creatures, and their seed preserve. Far less I now lament for one whole world of wicked sons destroyed, than I rejoice for one man found so perfect and so just, that God vouchsafes to raise another world from him, and all his anger to forget. But say, what mean those coloured streaks in heaven, distended as the brow of God appeased, or serve they as a flowery verge to bind the fluid skirts of that same watery cloud, lest it again dissolve and shower the earth? To whom the archangel, dexterously thou aim'st, so willingly doth God remit his ire, though late repenting him of man depraved, grieved at his heart, when looking down he saw the whole earth filled with violence, and all flesh corrupting each their way, yet those removed, such grace shall one just man find in his sight, that he relents, not to blot out mankind, and makes a covenant never to destroy the earth again by flood, nor let the sea surpass his bounds, nor rain to drown the world, with man therein or beast. But when he brings over the earth a cloud, will therein set his triple-coloured bow, whereon to look and call to mind his covenant, day and night, seed time at harvest, heat and hoary frost shall hold their course, till fire purge all things new, both heaven and earth, wherein the just shall dwell. Book 12. The Argument. The angel Michael continues from the flood to relate what shall succeed. Then, in the mention of Abraham, comes by degrees to explain who that seed of the woman shall be, which was promised Adam and Eve in the fall, his incarnation, death, resurrection, and ascension, the state of the church till his second coming. Adam, greatly satisfied and recomforted by these relations and promises, descends the hill with Michael, wakens Eve, who all this while had slept, but with gentle dreams composed to quietness of mind and submission. Michael, in either hand, leads them out of paradise, the fiery sword waving behind them, and the cherubim taking their stations to guard the place. As one who in his journey baits at noon, though bent on speed, so here the archangel paused between the world destroyed and world restored, if Adam aught perhaps might interpose. Then, with transition sweet, new speech resumes. Thus thou hast seen one world begin and end, and man as from a second stock proceed. Much thou hast yet to see, but I perceive thy mortal sight to fail. Objects divine must needs impair and weary human sense. Henceforth what is to come I will relate. Thou therefore give due audience and attend this second source of men, while yet but few, and while the dread of judgment past remains fresh in their minds, fearing the deity, with some regard to what is just and right, shall lead their lives and multiply apace, laboring the soil and reaping plenteous crop, corn, wine, and oil, and from the herd or flock, oft sacrificing bullock, lamb, or kid, with large wine offerings poured, and sacred feast, shall spend their days in joy unblamed, and dwell long time in peace by families and tribes, under paternal rule. Till one shall rise, a proud, ambitious heart, who, not content with fair equality, fraternal state, will arrogate dominion undeserved over his brethren, and quite dispossess concord and law of nature from the earth. Hunting, and men not beasts, shall be his game, with war and hostile snare, such as refuse subjection to his empire tyrannous. A mighty hunter thence he shall be styled, before the Lord, as in despite of heaven, or from heaven claiming second sovereignty, and from rebellion shall derive his name, though of rebellion others he accuse. He, with a crew whom like ambition joins, with him or under him to tyrannize, marching from Eden towards the west, shall find the plain, wherein a black bituminous gurge boils out from underground, the mouth of hell, of brick and of that stuff they cast to build a city and tower, whose top may reach to heaven, and get themselves a name, lest far dispersed in foreign lands their memory be lost, regardless whether good or evil fame. But God, who oft descends to visit men unseen, and through their habitations walks, to mark their doings, them beholding soon, comes down to see their city, ere the tower obstruct heaven towers, and in derision sets upon their tongues a various spirit to raise quite out of their native language, and instead to sow a jangling noise of words unknown. Forthwith a hideous gabble rises loud among the builders, each to other calls not understood, till hoarse and all in rage, as mocked they storm. Great laughter was in heaven, and looking down to see the hubbub strange and hear the din, thus was the building left ridiculous, and the work confusion named. Whereto thus Adam fatherly displeased, O execrable son, so to aspire above his brethren, to himself assuming authority usurped, from God not given. He gave us only over beast, fish, fowl, dominion absolute, that right we hold by his donation. But man over men he made not lord. Such title to himself reserving, human left from human free. But this usurper, his encroachment proud, stays not on man. To God his tower intends siege and defiance. Wretched man! What food will he convey up thither to sustain himself and his rash army, where thin air above the clouds will pine his entrails gross, and famish him of breath, if not of bread? To whom thus Michael, justly thou abhorrest that son, who on the quiet state of men such trouble brought, affecting to subdue rational liberty. Yet know withal, since thy original lapse, true liberty is lost, which always with right reason dwells twinned, and from her hath no individual being. Reason in man obscured, or not obeyed, immediately inordinate desires and upstart passions catch the government from reason, and to servitude reduce man till then free. Therefore, since he permits within himself unworthy powers to reign over free reason, God in judgment just subjects him from without to violent lords, who oft as undeservedly enthrall his outward freedom. Tyranny must be, though to the tyrant thereby no excuse. Yet sometimes nations will decline so low from virtue, which is reason, that no wrong but justice and some fatal curse annexed deprives them of their outward liberty, their inward lost. Witness the irreverent son of him who built the ark, who for the shame done to his father heard this heavy curse, servant of servants, on his vicious race. Thus will this latter, as the former world, still tend from bad to worse, till God at last, wearied with their iniquities, withdraw his presence from among them, and avert his holy eyes, resolving from thenceforth to leave them to their own polluted ways, and one peculiar nation to select from all the rest, of whom to be invoked, a nation from one faithful man to spring. Him on this side Euphrates yet residing, bred up in idol worship. Oh, that men, canst thou believe, should be so stupid grown, while yet the patriarch lived, who scaped the flood, as to forsake the living God, and fall to worship their own work in wood and stone, for gods. Yet him God the Most High vouchsafes to call by vision from his father's house, his kindred and false gods, into a land which he will show him, and from him will raise a mighty nation, and upon him shower his benediction so, that in his seed all nations shall be blessed. He straight obeys, not knowing to what land, yet firm believes. I see him, but thou canst not, with what faith he leaves his gods, his friends, and native soil, Ur of Chaldea, passing now the ford to Haran, after him a cumbrous train of herds and flocks, and numerous servitude, not wandering poor, but trusting all his wealth with God, who called him in a land unknown. Canaan he now attains. I see his tents, pitched about Shechem and the neighbouring plain of Moreh. There by promise he receives gift to his progeny of all that land, from Hamath northward to the desert south, things by their names I call, though yet unnamed. From Hermon east to the great western sea, Mount Hermon, yonder sea, each place behold in prospect as I point them. On the shore, Mount Carmel, here the double-founted stream, Jordan, a true limit eastward. But his sons shall dwell to Senia, that long ridge of hills, this ponder that all nations of the earth shall in his seed be blessed. By that seed is meant thy great deliverer, who shall bruise the serpent's head, whereof to thee anon plainlier shall be revealed. This patriarch blessed, whom faithful Abraham due time shall call, a son, and of his son a grandchild leaves, like him in faith, in wisdom and renown. The grandchild, with 12 sons increased, departs from Canaan to a land hereafter called Egypt, divided by the river Nile. See where it flows, disgorging at 7 mouths into the sea. To sojourn in that land he comes invited by a younger son, in time of dearth, a son whose worthy deeds raise him to be the second in that realm of Pharaoh. There he dies and leaves his race, growing into a nation, and now grown, suspected to a sequent king, who seeks to stop their overgrowth, as inmate guests too numerous. whence of guests he makes them slaves inhospitably, and kills their infant males, till by two brethren, these two brethren call Moses and Aaron, sent from God to claim his people from enthrallment, they return with glory and spoil back to their promised land. But first the lawless tyrant who denies to know their God or message to regard must be compelled by signs and judgments dire. To blood unshed the rivers must be turned. Frogs, lice, and flies must all his palace fill with loathed intrusion and fill all the land. His cattle must of rotten murrain die. Botches and blains must all his flesh emboss, and all his people. Thunder mixed with hail, hail mixed with fire must rend the Egyptian sky, and wheel on the earth, devouring where it rolls. What it devours not, herb or fruit or grain, a darksome cloud of locusts swarming down must eat, and on the ground leave nothing green. Darkness must overshadow all his bounds, palpable darkness, and blot out 3 days. Last, with one midnight stroke, all the firstborn of Egypt must lie dead. Thus with 10 wounds, the river dragon, tamed at length, submits to let his sojourners depart, and oft humbles his stubborn heart, but still as ice, more hardened after thaw, till in his rage, pursuing whom he late dismissed, the sea swallows him with his host, but them lets pass, as on dry land between 2 crystal walls. Awed by the rod of Moses, so to stand, divided till his rescued gain their shore. Such wondrous power God to his saint will lend, though present in his angel, who shall go before them in a cloud and pillar of fire, by day a cloud, by night a pillar of fire, to guide them in their journey and remove behind them while the obdurate king pursues. All night he will pursue, but his approach darkness defends between till morning watch. Then, through the fiery pillar and the cloud, God looking forth will trouble all his host, and craze their chariot wheels. When by command Moses once more his potent rod extends over the sea his rod obeys, on their embattled ranks the waves return, and overwhelm their war. The race elect, safe towards Canaan from the shore advance, through the wild desert, not the readiest way, lest entering on the Canaanite alarmed, war terrify them inexpert, and fear return them back to Egypt, choosing rather inglorious life with servitude. For life to noble and ignoble is more sweet, untrained in arms, where rashness leads not on. This also shall they gain by their delay. In the wide wilderness, there they shall found their government, and their great senate choose, through the 12 tribes, to rule by laws ordained. God, from the Mount of Sinai, whose grey top shall tremble, he descending will himself, in thunder, lightning, and loud trumpet sound, ordain them laws, part such as appertain to civil justice, part religious rites of sacrifice, informing them, by types and shadows, of that destined seed to bruise the serpent, by what means he shall achieve mankind's deliverance. But the voice of God to mortal ear is dreadful. They beseech that Moses might report to them his will, and terror cease. He grants what they besought, instructed that to God is no access without mediator, whose high office now Moses in figure bears to introduce one greater, of whose day he shall foretell, and all the prophets in their age, the times of great Messiah shall sing. Thus laws and rites established, such delight hath God in men, obedient to his will, that he vouchsafes among them to set up his tabernacle, the Holy One with mortal men to dwell. By his prescript a sanctuary is framed of cedar, overlaid with gold, therein an ark, and in the ark his testimony, the records of his covenant, over these a mercy seat of gold between the wings of 2 bright cherubim. Before him burn 7 lamps, as in a zodiac, representing the heavenly fires. Over the tent a cloud shall rest by day, a fiery gleam by night. Save when they journey, And at length they come, conducted by his angel, to the land promised to Abraham and his seed. The rest were long to tell how many battles fought, how many kings destroyed and kingdoms won, or how the sun shall in mid-heaven stand still a day entire, and night's due course adjourn. Man's voice commanding, Sun, in Gibeon stand, and thou, moon, in the vale of Ayalon, till Israel overcome. So call the third from Abraham, son of Isaac, and from him his whole descent, who thus shall Canaan win. Here Adam interposed, O sent from heaven, enlightener of my darkness, gracious things thou hast revealed, those chiefly which concern just Abraham and his seed. Now first I find mine eyes true opening, and my heart much eased, erewhile perplexed with thoughts what would become of me and all mankind. But now I see his day in whom all nations shall be blessed, favour unmerited by me, who sought forbidden knowledge by forbidden means. This yet I apprehend not, why to those among whom God will deign to dwell on earth, so many and so various laws are given, so many laws argue so many sins among them. How can God with such reside? To whom thus Michael, Doubt not but that sin will reign among them, as of thee begot, and therefore was the law given them to evince their natural pravity, by stirring up sin against law to fight, that when they see law can discover sin, but not remove, save by those shadowy expiations weak, the blood of bulls and goats, they may conclude some blood more precious must be paid for man, just for unjust, that in such righteousness to them by faith imputed, they may find justification towards God, and peace of conscience, which the law by ceremonies cannot appease, nor man the moral part perform, and not performing cannot live. So law appears imperfect, and but given with purpose to resign them in full time, up to a better covenant, disciplined from shadowy types to truth, from flesh to spirit, from imposition of strict laws, to face acceptance of large grace, from servile fear to filial, works of law to works of faith. And therefore shall not Moses, though of God highly beloved, being but the minister of law, his people into Canaan lead. But Joshua, whom the Gentiles Jesus call, his name and office bearing, who shall quell the adversary serpent, and bring back through the world's wilderness long-wandered man, safe to eternal paradise of rest. Meanwhile they in their earthly Canaan placed, long time shall dwell and prosper. But when sins national interrupt their public peace, provoking God to raise them enemies, from whom as oft he saves them penitent by judges first, then under kings, of whom the second, both for piety renowned and puissant deeds, a promise shall receive irrevocable, that his regal throne for ever shall endure. The like shall sing all prophecy, that of the royal stock of David, so I name this king, shall rise a son, the woman's seed to thee foretold, foretold to Abraham, as in whom shall trust all nations, and to kings foretold, of kings the last, for of his reign shall be no end. But first a long succession must ensue, and his next son for wealth and wisdom famed, the clouded ark of God till then in tents wandering, shall in a glorious temple enshrine. Such follow him as shall be registered, part good, part bad, of bad the longer scroll, whose foul idolatries and other faults, heaped to the popular sum, will so incense God as to leave them and expose their land, their city, his temple, and his holy ark, with all his sacred things, a scorn and prey to that proud city, whose high walls thou sawest, left in confusion, Babylon thence called. There in captivity he lets them dwell the space of 70 years, then brings them back, remembering mercy, and his covenant sworn to David, established as the days of heaven. Returned from Babylon by leave of kings, their lords, whom God disposed, The house of God they first re-edify, and for a while, in mean estate, live moderate, till grown in wealth and multitude, factious they grow. But first among the priests dissension springs, men who attend the altar, and should most endeavour peace, their strife pollution brings upon the temple itself. At last they seize the sceptre, and regard not David's sons, then lose it to a stranger, that the true anointed king Messiah might be born, barred of his right. Yet at his birth a star, unseen before in heaven, proclaims him come, and guides the eastern sages, who inquire his place, to offer incense, myrrh, and gold. His place of birth, a solemn angel tells, to simple shepherds, keeping watch by night. They gladly thither haste, and by a choir of squadroned angels hear his carol sung. A virgin is his mother, but his sire the power of the Most High. He shall ascend the throne hereditary, and bound his reign with earth's wide bounds, his glory with the heavens. He ceased, discerning Adam with such joy surcharged, as had like grief been dewed in tears, without the vent of words, which these he breathed. O prophet of glad tidings, finisher of utmost hope, now clear I understand what oft my steadiest thoughts have searched in vain, why our great expectation should be called the seed of woman. Virgin mother, hail, high in the love of heaven, yet from my loins thou shalt proceed, and from thy womb the Son of God Most High. So God with man unites. Needs must the serpent now his capital bruise expect with mortal pain. Say where and when their fight, what stroke shall bruise the victor's heel? To whom thus Michael, dream not of their fight, as of a duel, or the local wounds of head or heel. Not therefore joins the Son, manhood to Godhead, with more strength to foil thy enemy. Nor so is overcome Satan, whose fall from heaven, a deadlier bruise, disabled not to give thee thy death's wound, which he who comes thy Saviour shall re-cure, not by destroying Satan, but his works in thee and in thy seed. Nor can this be but by fulfilling that which thou didst want, obedience to the law of God, imposed on penalty of death, and suffering death the penalty to thy transgression due, and due to theirs which out of thine will grow. So only can high justice rest apaid. The law of God exact he shall fulfil, both by obedience and by love. Though love alone fulfil the law, thy punishment he shall endure by coming in the flesh to a reproachful life and cursed death. Proclaiming life to all who shall believe in his redemption, and that his obedience imputed becomes theirs by faith, his merits to save them, not their own, though legal works. For this he shall live hated, be blasphemed, seized on by force, judged, and to death condemned, a shameful and accursed, nailed to the cross by his own nation, slain for bringing life. But to the cross he nails thy enemies, the law that is against thee, and the sins of all mankind with him there crucified, never to hurt them more who rightly trust in this his satisfaction. So he dies, but soon revives, death over him no power shall long usurp. Ere the third dawning light return, the stars of morn shall see him rise out of his grave, fresh as the dawning light, thy ransom paid, which man from death redeems. His death for man, as many as offered life, neglect not, and the benefit embrace by faith, not void of works. This godlike act annuls thy doom, the death thou shouldst have died, in sin forever lost from life. This act shall bruise the head of Satan, crush his strength, defeating sin and death, his two main arms, and fix far deeper in his head their stings than temporal death shall bruise the victor's heel. Or theirs whom he redeems, a death like sleep, a gentle wafting to immortal life. Nor after resurrection shall he stay longer on earth than certain times to appear to his disciples, men who in his life still followed him. To them shall leave in charge to teach all nations what of him they learned, and his salvation, them who shall believe, baptizing in the profluent stream, the sign of washing them from guilt of sin to life pure, and in mind prepared, if so befall, for death, like that which the Redeemer died. All nations they shall teach, for from that day not only to the sons of Abraham's loins salvation shall be preached, but to the